T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 7:10 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do is sit here and gab with you. And I love it when the family is in studio with me, not just my family, the Steeles, which you'll hear from one of them later on. I'm talking about Jonathan Lowe and Susie Jones from our newsroom right here, right now. So are you ready to get it started? Well, come on, darling. Let's ride. I don't know. I feel like singing a lot since the death of Aretha Franklin. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, here's the thing, Susie. We know that we, as we get older, we're going to start to see a lot of our heroes and sheroes, you know, walk right into heaven. I tell you. And it just blows my mind when it happens, because it could be any of us at any day, whether you are beloved or hated. It doesn't matter. Well, none of us know when it's that time. Right.
That's right.
And when they announced that she was gone, you know, I didn't feel a sense of grief, like, oh my God, like I did with Prince, which was so tragic. You know, she had a long illness. But for me, this woman inspired me.
Sure, you know, I bet.
Influenced me.
Yeah.
You know, she went from church to the soul stages across the world. And, you know, I thought I could do the same thing. No, I couldn't sing like that.
Pretty close. You have a beautiful voice, but it was sad. I find, you know, on Spotify, I'll just play Aretha. Because it's nice. She has such beautiful songs.
Oh, great songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking on 60 Minutes. They had done an interview with her before when Ed Bradley was in charge, I think it was. And they were playing a bit of that on YouTube. A friend of mine sent it to me. And they were talking about how she was such an enigma. You know, she didn't really want to talk about her personal life out loud, but in her songs, she gave it to you. You knew this woman was meaning every word that she sang. If she was talking about a no good man, she had had one.
Haven't we all? And she sang it for us.
She sang it for us. And so we all kind of, well, let's just say her body of music was the soundtrack of my life. Absolutely. It was it was right there at the forefront. And I will miss her so much. But thank God she left us volumes.
Volumes.
Of music.
Yeah.
In various genres.
Right.
Right.
Wherever you feel like going, she could take you there.
So I'm doing a tribute to Aretha.
Are you tonight?
I am. I'm doing a tribute on the 27th of this month.
Okay.
And it was tough because I thought, God, Geralyn, you know, I don't mimic her. I'm not going to try to sing like her because I can't. But I do want to honor her because even her clothes, her style of clothing, you know, I used to think I could be that big, man. I could just, I could wear that stuff, you know, big as life kind of clothing. So she really inspired me. So at the Dakota, August 27th. You should come on down.
I will. What day of the week is that?
It is a Monday.
Okay.
And it's Geralyn Steele and friends are going to do a great tribute to her and smoking band. I was going to do, you know, celebrate my 20 years here at CCO and so much more.
Yeah.
But I changed it when she died, and I just thought I cannot go and sing a bunch of songs that I love but and only have two of hers. I just can't do it. She was bigger than life.
Yeah.
Even in my life.
Are there songs of hers that give you a little bit of pause in terms of trying to sing? I mean, you know, I mean, they say there are certain songs that are hard to sing. So does anything come to mind? You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Is that a hard song to sing?
I wouldn't say it's a hard song to sing, but it's hard to sing in her keys. She is an E, kind of the key of E. I'm an E flat girl, which is lower. And I don't know. I have challenges with that. Did I say it's Laura? I don't think it's Laura. See, I get it mixed up. I don't know how to read music at all. Can I just admit that right now?
I did not know that.
I don't read music. Never.
Never really have?
Never have.
Oh, my goodness. You just had that voice.
But I'm a quick learner.
I bet you are. I know. I love hearing you sing. You know me. You always make me cry.
Well, I tell you, I'm excited about it. So if people want to come on down, just, you know, go to DakotaCooks.com and take a look at it. By the way, I was invited to sing commercials, you know, for commercials, both locally and nationally years ago in the 80s and 90s. And there was a group of us that were kind of that Fab 10 of us that would go in and record all these songs. And there was a woman that Kathy Cuddy, that was her name. And she knew I couldn't read a thing. She knew that Geraldine was faking it all the way, you know? My music might have been upside down or something. I don't know, but she knew I was faking it. So I would listen to the parts, and then I'd jump in. And so some of the producers, I don't know if they knew I didn't read or they just didn't say anything because I was such a quick learner. But she took me aside one day, and she said, Geraldine, I can see that you don't read. And she said, they give us charts on this stuff all the time. So I tell you what, I'll meet you here at the session about 15 minutes before we are due.
Yeah.
And I'll teach it to you really fast.
Wow.
And she did that for, what, 4 years?
Wow, what a nice thing to
do. Oh, my God, I owe her so much for that. And, yeah. And you know, I was able to walk in acting like I knew what I was doing. You know, trying to keep it under wraps. But eventually I just told everybody, you know I don't read, but you sing it to me one time and I got it.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, those were really special days. So are you going to celebrate Aretha in any way or?
Just listen to her a lot. Just, you know, I heard on the news after she passed that one of her records had all been topped out on the charts because everybody downloaded her albums.
No kidding.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Jonathan, too?
I did not hear that.
I did not hear that, but that doesn't surprise me. That's what happens nowadays.
That's true.
With digital streaming, a lot of the pantheon of libraries online. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened when Prince passed away.
Yep.
You know, people remember it. They remember it fondly. They say, you know what? I may have a bunch of records, but those records are scratched, or I may be saving them for posterity. I might have CDs, but those CDs are scratched, so they're not really playing. They bump a lot, so I can go to this new way of getting music, download it onto my computer, and it's right there, and I'm still paying the artist for it. It's not like I'm doing any sort of Napster type of thing where
But you
I'm
mentioned something that's really important, because I actually save. I'll go out and buy something that I love, and I'll get the platinum version of it, like the trilogy of The Godfather. My children gave me that. Did I open it? Heck no. I'm not opening it because I'm thinking to myself, that's going to be worth something one day. And then there's a part of me that looks back now and goes, Geraldine, open that thing and use it. I mean, it's a DVD.
That's almost a relic these days, right?
Forget about VHS.
VHS.
Oh, Beta.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, what were those mini? Those mini cassettes? No, mini something.
They were small. Yeah, like they were mini cassettes. I started where I would tell the Sloane down in the newsroom, you know, because I always tease her that I did this before she was born, and reel to reel. They used to have the reel to reels here at WCCO,
and splicing.
With a razor, and you go,
and you find that
mark it, and then cut it, and then push those two pieces of tape together, and then put a little.
A little piece of tape in between. Yeah.
That's it. Let me tell you something. Somebody knock all of those satellites out of the sky. We'll be waking up the dead talking about, come on, show me how to splice.
Mm-hmm.
Because seriously, that was the way they did it. And tape was supposed to be forever. And then we found out it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right?
My friend and I, this is funny that I'll just say this, but my best friend Lisa and I were talking. She gets riled up about things and she wants to think about what's going to happen in the world. And I said, well, think about us. So when we were sixth grade, could we have imagined at 18, what the world was going to look like at 55.
Right.
And you couldn't. You don't know what you don't know.
Did you want to?
Not really, but I think if you're thinking about the next 50 or 30 or
does that at 20 or 21.
No, but now.
I mean, maybe they do. I couldn't even imagine kind of looking down the road like that. Now, my daughter is one of those who lives in the future in the sense that she plans for the future. She'll stop and say, okay, I got this out of the way. I know I need to do this, but now let me look and see how this is going to affect me in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
I don't either. People say, what are your thoughts? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I said, I hope I'm alive.
Right. Alive with something in my hand with an umbrella attached inside the glass, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
I would say, how much money does Mark Zuckerberg have? Just give me about 1/20th of that and I'll be happy.
Oh, look, you don't even need 1/20th
of
that.
No, I would like 1/20th of
that. Yeah, but if you had 0.0003, you'd still be really good.
No, we're going with 1/20th.
All right. Agreed.
But, you know, I mean, that's why you have to, and it's so cliche, but that is really why you have to stay in the moment.
You do have to stay in the moment.
Yeah, and enjoy what is right now.
And celebrate. You know, I used to love the idea of writing emails to people that were really special and say happy birthday and why I'm saying happy birthday to them. Well, then, of course, they came out with the e-cards. And mm-hmm. then they came up with Facebook. Well, all you got to do is go, hey, congratulations, happy birthday. And you got the little stars and stripes mm-hmm. blowing across, you know, when you say congratulations. And it just doesn't feel as personable anymore. You know, it's not as personal. And I miss the days of writing a card or making a card mm-hmm. for someone that you care about to say, hey, happy birthday. So if I sent you a card
yep.
And I said to you, Susie, I really care about your birthday. I care that you are a year older, and I do hope that we'll grow old together, that we'll run into each other from time to time as we're on our way to the 80s. And I would just be thrilled to mail that to you. How
would
you feel
that.
Receiving
I would
that?
Love it. Are you kidding me? We don't have that enough. That's no. Back to my friend Lisa. She found a box of old love letters that her boyfriend in eighth grade wrote her.
Oh, God, tell me he was a good guy.
He was great. I don't know where he is now.
Was he a good writer?
Yeah, he said, I dream about you all the time. I love your eyes. You know,
does.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's very sweet, you know, but now, you know, text, you know, you can't hardly say anything very romantic in a text.
Mm-hmm. I remember some of those movies that really just happened in the last decade, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, you know, where they were in search of whomever, they found all this packet of love notes and they bought a house, they found this packet and they go looking
yes.
for the person that it belongs to. And this
yes.
journey brings them together with all of these other people that knew about this relationship and how beautiful it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say, okay, that's dreaming. That's just dreaming.
Well, we can start. There's nothing that's not gone.
It's not too late.
We can write each other letters.
What's that website for old folks that want to get together? Oldtimers.com. I swear to goodness, I thought it said oldtimers.com. Do you remember what it was?
I don't know.
I think it's our time.
That's
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our
still sounds
time.
Like old timers
yeah.
to me.
You need to get on there, Gerald.
Yeah, right. We're going to take a break. We'll
All
be
right.
back in a moment.
Love ya.
You too, honey. It is now 7:25 here at WCCO. Woo! I got to tell you, that's a little groove, isn't it? That's a little bit of a groove. Welcome back to Steel Talk, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do is sit here and gab with you, and there's a lot to talk about in the news. As you've heard about the spree of tweets today, they call him President Trump. The chief, instead of the chief, is like the tweeter. So anyway, I won't go there. He spent a whole lot of the day today going after the media. Really, it's not just the New York Times. It's not just this one and that one. It's really he's just going against the media unless they are ultra conservative papers, television, radio, you name it. And unfortunately, I believe it was Thursday, the story came out that a myriad of media went after him big time. I think it was 300 newspapers that attacked him on Thursday.
Well, there was a pledge from 400-plus newspapers talking about how they are not – basically what he was talking about the media being the enemy of the people
right.
and how they're basically pushing back and saying, no, we're not the enemy of the people. We're trying to give you all of the information that's out there and basically defending the – their industry.
But it was more than defending. It was questioning whether or not, you know, he had the right to do this, first of all, and his treatment of the media. They were questioning it, saying, tell us why you're doing this. Tell us what this is all about, because we are not the enemy of the people. Even his own daughter said, oh, no, the media is not the enemy of the people. That's Trump's own daughter, right? The oldest daughter. So it's really disturbing how bad this is gotten and how far we've come. Then, of course, those op-eds started a big, gigantic tweet storm this morning, starting at about, 5:12, where he wrote, I allowed the White House counsel Don McGahn. And all other requested members of the White House staff to fully cooperate with the special counsel. Now, this was all because Don McGahn has been working with Mueller for, a month? I think it's been like a month.
Well, they're saying, as far as I can tell, that he's been in coordination, talking with the council for 30 hours.
Oh, that's it. 30 hours. So however long that takes. There you go. For 30 hours. So then the president turned around at 6:01. Okay, first one was at 5:12. Less than an hour later at 6:01, he says the failing New York Times wrote a fake piece today implying that because White House counsel Don McGahn was giving hours of testimony to the special counsel, he must be a John Dean type rat. But I allowed him and all others to testify. I didn't have to. I have nothing to hide. Then he comes back in just moments later and says, and have demanded transparency so that this rigid and disgusting witch hunt can come to a close. So many lives have been ruined over nothing. McCarthyism at its worst. Yet Mueller and his gang of Dems refuse to look at the real crimes on the other side. Media is even worse. I know I read that Mueller is like a Republican. I know I did. So I'm just really surprised that he's writing this sort of thing. Then he writes again at 6:30, just 15 minutes later, and he says, no collusion and no obstruction except by crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Still on that, are you, sir? All of the resignations and corruption, yet heavily conflicted Bob Mueller refuses to even look in that direction. What about the Brennan, Comey, McCabe stroke lies to Congress or Crooked's emails? I don't know what that Crooked's emails. I don't know what he means by that, but then who does? And then, of course, at half an hour or so later, maybe about 35 minutes later, he writes, the failing New York Times wrote a story that made it seem like the White House counsel had turned on the president, when in fact, it is just the opposite. And the two fake reporters knew this. This is why the fake news media has become the enemy of the people. So bad for America. And then finally, at there are two more, I think. At 7:14, he said some members of the media are very angry at the fake story in the New York Times. They actually called to complain and apologize. A big step forward. Who complained and apologized? From the day I announced, the Times has been fake news, and with their disgusting new board member, it will only get worse. What board member are they talking about? Do you know, Jonathan? What is he talking about?
I think that there's a board member, a reporter, a board member that's been brought on, and there's some controversy around this person based on either racial slurs or tweets or something of that nature. I'll have to There was a little nugget of something that I heard about this, but I'll have to look this
up. Okay, all right. And then the last one at 7:24, study the late Joseph McCarthy, because we are now in period with Mueller and his gang that make Joseph McCarthy look like a baby, rigid witch hunt. Unbelievable. If you'd like to discuss this with me, I'd love to hear from you, because the bottom line is this. How does this make us better? What is this all about? Why is it so necessary for him to tweet? And of course, we've gotten so used to it, it's become a game. This is not a game. People can die over this. People have died over this sort of thing. You cannot keep this going and think it's okay. Not cool. Sad.
By the way, before we go to break, the person that they're talking about is Sarah Jeong. She has been hired by the New York Times as the lead technology writer for the editorial board.
Okay.
And they are talking about tweets that were set up from 2013 to early 2015 that had some racial connotations, some denigrating racial connotations.
By her.
By her, referring to some Caucasian people.
So wow. Okay, good to know. Thanks so much. That's the voice of Jonathan Lowe. If you'd like to join us, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Again, that's 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. As we are moving very quickly to the end of the year. Boy, there's a whole lot happening, and I know you are exhausted as much as I am and would love to see this come to an end, not just because it needs to come to an end, but because we need the truth. As long as we get the truth before it comes to the end, I'm a happy girl. Whatever that truth is, we're going to have to deal with it. All right, I look forward to hearing from you, and all voices are welcome here on CCO. It is now 7:39 here at WCCO, and as you heard earlier, I read all of the tweets from this morning that our President Trump actually sent out, and some of them seem so ridiculous to me. And I'm not quite sure why it's important that he does this or why he needs to do this, but I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about how things are going, the accusations, blaming this person, not blaming the other one? I'm just not quite sure. We had a couple of guests coming up where we're going to talk about the job of Congress and that sort of thing, but we are taking your calls this whole half hour. We'd love to have you at 651-989-9226. If you're outside the metro area, toll free 1-866-989-9226. Let's go over to Dan calling in from St. Louis Park. Hello, Dan. How are you tonight?
Hi, Geralyn. Thanks for talking about this.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really mean that. I believe that he's tweeting because he doesn't get a fair shake, in my opinion, from the mainstream media. He's not. The mainstream media has completely underreported or failed to report on the fact that Hillary Clinton committed crimes and is not facing any charges, or there's nothing happening to Hillary Clinton of all the corruption she committed and all the fraud, and that the Department of Justice under the Obama administration and the FBI has rallied behind a campaign, Hillary Clinton's campaign, to the detriment of the Donald Trump campaign. And this collusion thing, there is no evidence, and it's now approaching 2 years, and it's still ongoing.
All right, let me ask you this, Dan. Do you remember when President Obama was in office, and when he came in, the Great Recession was in full blast, full form, right? And I remember the talking heads on some of the political shows were saying, look, President Obama cannot blame George W. Bush, and say that that president is the one that put us in an illegal war. And President Obama really did take that stance and said, there's no need to cast blame. There's plenty of other people that are doing plenty of that. What we need to do is fix it. Yet there were people still calling in, and the Republicans were going, stop screaming about George W. Bush. That was one president. Now it's another. Deal with him. So now you guys are going up against, Obama and saying, okay, all of those people with Hillary Clinton, and this mess is still going on. Why keep bringing it up when we're already almost 2 years into this presidency?
Well, because the counsel of Robert Mueller is still going on, despite the fact there's no evidence of any collusion with Donald Trump. And Hillary paid for a fake dossier and lied to the FISA court judge to get on a warrant. And they had a person embedded in Donald Trump's campaign to try to trip him up.
I must admit, Dan, you are absolutely persistent, and I appreciate that. Thanks for calling
right,
in. I got to get to another caller. Let's go to Jim in St. Paul. Hey, Jim.
Hello there. You know, I know how Trump could, we'd never hear from him again, is if anything he ever said had to be true, he'd go mute. You'd never hear a word from him. I'm telling you.
Are you saying that it's impossible for him to speak the truth?
Absolutely. Listen to Giuliani this morning. The truth is not the truth. I mean, these guys are such clowns. And this guy that called before me, he calls your station maybe 4, 5, 6 times a day. And it's the same thing. Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. I don't know what the hell Hillary did. I mean, honest to God, we've got the most corrupt president, the most corrupt administration. I don't think there'll be one of his cabinet that isn't indicted for something when we try finally get this trash out.
You know, when you talk about that this is the most corrupt, there are others that would argue with you and say, you could go back and look at a few others that have done some pretty corrupt things.
When you
compare and look at where we are today, how did you get to believing and feeling like this is the worst ever?
Because he appointed the worst cabinet member in every one of the positions that he could possibly find. You think when he said, I'm draining the swamp, yeah, he's draining it and putting every swamp creature in his cabinet. And he's the worst of the swamp creatures. And I just can't tell you enough. Only I know this. You talk to the average man in the street, and there isn't one that bats him and his lying bunch. Now, there are certain pockets where you're going to hear the opposite of this. but they all are only one station listening people. You know, Gerald, I tell you, this man is ruining our country. And if anybody doesn't think that, you wait till you get your next health insurance bill. That is totally Donald Trump.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Jim. It's good to hear from you. All right, the phone lines are open just for you, 651-989-9226. If you're outside the metro area, you are welcome to call in as well, 1-866-989-9226. And here's the deal. Do you agree with what Jim said, that this is the most corrupt administration, the most corrupt president of all time? Wrap your head around that. When you look at some of the history of presidents, we've had drunkards, right? You know, we've had some bad ones that, you know, where people were too embarrassed for that person to even get out and talk. It was like, give him just a few words. Is it the worst? This is how I keep trying my best to deal with all of this, because this is serious business. And I do hope that you were able to participate in voting on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. I know when I put on my I voted, I was really, really happy about that, because it was the one way I could relieve my frustration, is by saying I voted. Even though it's pretty obvious that this particular administration and its Congress is going out of their way to make sure less people can vote, which is really quite remarkable. That we are undoing things within one administration, from one administration, just once. Just, bam, it's gone, it's done. So I ask of you, I ask of you, is this really the worst? Maybe it is. It sure feels like it, right? Because we're living in it right now. My fear is that we will not be able to rise above this if everything is done that they are planning to do. It will take generations to get past this. I believe that the country will shrink from 320 million. I think we will lose a lot of Americans that will walk right out of this country and take their money with them, take their brain trust with them. So the phone line's open to you at 651-989-9226. Let's go to Dennis before we go to break. Dennis from Vatnais Heights, welcome to CCO.
Thank you. I've got one comment that I made right after President Trump was elected. He's a nut.
He's a nut? Is he the worst?
That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Dennis. I sure appreciate it. Very quickly, Betty from St. Louis Park. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Geraldine. We have talked before, and I'm 89 years old, Geraldine. I worked in public service for many years, very politically active, and I think this man is a destroyer. We've had other presidents that had their problems, but I don't ever remember any of them systematically going after. In the first place, his only agenda seems to be to destroy all the good things President Obama did and his administration.
So you don't remember any other president that went after the previous president's successes and tore them all down?
What?
So you don't remember a president, a time when another president went after the former president's agenda and took it all down?
I don't remember to this degree. And I can tell you exactly where I was, Geraldine, when President Roosevelt announced the attack on Pearl Harbor. So you know how long I've been around.
And I'm so glad that you have. We need your brain trust, so keep it up. Well, keep it up. Keep speaking out, because we need you. And thank you so much for calling in, Betty.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, honey. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. It is now 7:51 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You're listening to Still Talking, and we have the phone lines open just for you. Let's go over to Jean calling in from Maplewood. Hey, Jean.
Hi, hon. I'm a liberal, and
you and your twin.
Yeah, Judy's at the Lynx game, by the way.
Oh, hey,
her daughter,
Lucky
Jessie.
Duck, right?
Oh, I just love Lindsay. Anyway, in the whole group, but I'm embarrassed and I'm scared because, you know, there's so many factors that could happen that he could become our president in the next 4 years, and I'm hoping that's not going to happen. I don't see any Democrat coming forward that could be possible. I don't see anything. But I'm also proud that we had a lot of people come out for the primary. I voted early, and I still had my button on and everything. But we got to get people out to vote and vote their conscience, and not just on one stupid little. Not I shouldn't say stupid. The one issue. Okay, if they're voting, you know, pro-life. I have Democratic friends who are pro-life, you know, mm-hmm. and they still vote Democrat. Right. I'm not pro-abortion. I'm pro-choice.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So that's all I want to say. But I'm just sitting here loving to listen to you, and I'm putting my garbage out and my recycling out, and I'm just going to sit back and relax and listen to my Geraldine.
Oh, I love it. Thanks a lot, Jean. You take love care you. And tell Bye. Sis I said hey.
I will, but.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Jonathan. I'm taking the trash out, listening, and still talking. Let's go to Jeff in St. Louis Park. Hey, Jeff.
Hello. I just plead with people not to make these huge generalizations. He's the worst president we've ever had. That's one of the things that I hear Trump do very often. He makes gross generalizations and then doesn't, and I didn't say he does it all the time. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I said he does it too often.
Right.
And, you know, people will argue.
Sure feels like all the time, though, doesn't it?
It feels like way too much.
And, you know, if you're doing 3,000 lies in a week, that's pretty bad.
I was a professor for years, and I wouldn't let students talk like that in my classroom.
Right.
I would say, you know, that it sounds like you're talking about everybody everywhere. Why don't I'd like a little documentation or some specificity, and then we can talk.
That's right. But source that statement, would you? Source it with a primary source.
Or tell me where you're coming from individually, personally.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get any place bouncing these
generalities.
These gross generalities. The country's going socialistic.
Yeah.
What are you concerned about? You know what I mean?
Right.
Al was doing that on the radio the other night, and I really love him. But I get angry when I hear him with the gross generalizations.
All right, we got you, Jeff. Thank you for calling in.
You
call anytime. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go over to Neil calling in from St. Paul. Hey, Neil.
Wow, you guys must be living in the Twilight Zone. And just please don't cut me off. Okay, I'm a minority. Mm-hmm. I was a union employee. I was. I'm not anymore. What Obama did to this country as a socialist, the unemployment was at its highest.
That's where you start? That's where you begin this conversation?
Because
I want to make sure you hear my question. What question did I ask?
I didn't hear your question. I heard everybody bash Trump. Our unemployment's at its lowest.
But let me tell you why.
2,100 companies.
Now I'm going to have to cut you off. Okay, so Neil, here's the deal. When you call in, you have to know where we are. You're calling in to protect the president, where I started here, right? We had a caller that called in and said that the president, this president, Trump, was the worst president we've ever had. And I'm asking the question, is that true? Do we look at our history and know that to be true? And then you come in and start out about saying President Obama was a socialist. That's not who we are, and that's not where we're trying to go. So next time, all I encourage you to do is listen in first. See where we are. See what I'm talking about. And then call in, and you'll be welcome back for sure. Carol in New Brighton, how are you?
I'm well, Geraldine. Thank you. And I love this topic tonight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And to answer your question, and thinking of the preceding caller, I have also lived through 13 presidents.
Wow.
Never, ever, Geraldine, never, ever in our history, in my history, has there ever been a person in our White House quite like this. And yes, I think he's destroying our country. Yes, I think he's mean and cruel. We're losing all of our allies. He has no allies. And for those that he has appointed to his administration, I guess I have to remember, he has no clue who these people are or what their capabilities are, and he just hands out jobs like he's favoring his friends.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, Carol. Thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
And our final call on this is Barry from Minneapolis. Hey, Barry, what do you say? You only have about 30 seconds.
All right, I want to back up what the professor said. I won't repeat it. And I kind of want to make a point to Dan. and that is maybe the Republicans could take over the House and take over the Senate and take over the DOJ and take over the FBI and the presidency. And if there really was something Hillary Clinton had done, maybe they could do something about it.
All right.
They would have to have part of the government to do that.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in, Barry. Thanks for all of your comments. And, of course, this president really has challenged us, hasn't he? That is for sure. Whether he's the worst or not, I'm not sure. I'd have to do my research. But I will say this. I am deeply troubled by this president's decisions. We'll be back with our next guest in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.